SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline. With the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget, act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Best hour of your day now officially underway, and so is the Eagles championship parade. Donnie Wrightside here on its solo mission on a Friday, Valentine's Day Friday edition, where one last celebration roaming through the streets of Philadelphia. The parade just got underway at 11 a.m. It's expected to reach the Art Museum in Philadelphia by 2 p.m. A three-hour tour for the Philadelphia Eagles to celebrate with their fans. The parade route goes right down Broad Street, makes a quick turn at City Hall, heads down to the Art Museum, the Rocky statue, you get it all. That's where the official announcements will be made and players up there cheering and going wild along with the fans. It's fantastic. It feels like the culmination of the NFL season takes place today. And if you're not an Eagles fan, it's like, all right, get this off my TV. What are we watching for? Why are we still talking about this? But obviously, as a fan of the Philadelphia Eagles myself, absolutely love it. Second Lombardi Trophy. Excited. It's Valentine's Day. What a way to cap off a whirlwind week for the Eagles with a Sunday championship win in Super Bowl 59 against the Kansas City Chiefs, 40-22. Now they're showing the highlights right now as the parade just gets underway. Jeffrey Lurie, the Eagles owner, proudly pumping up and down that Lombardi Trophy. So it's going to be going on all day. I'm watching. I'm having fun. So if you see my eyes getting distracted up here, typically I don't have the televisions on in my studio, but I will have them on today because I want to watch all of the festivities. You might say, Donnie, what are you doing? Like, you're not down there right now and watching the parade go by? Look, I did that in 2017 because I had to be there. And it was a long day. It was 3:30 a.m. wake up, drive over into the city, find a parking spot, which was in South Philadelphia at IKEA, Uber all the way up to Broad Street, sit there for 5 to 6 hours before the parade even thought of getting started. So basically, it was an 8-hour wait for the buses to go by to cheer it on, to be with the fan base and a lot of Eagles cheers. As soon as the parade went by, which I was on Broad Street, not at the Art Museum last time, I was able to drive home real quick, no traffic whatsoever, got home, was able to watch the celebrations and all of the players giving speeches, which included that epic Jason Kelce speech where he did have his Mummers paraphernalia on. So for me, just sitting back, chilling, relaxing, it's going to be a nice weekend as well. It's NBA All-Star weekend. We'll get into some of the festivities. We'll go over some of the rosters. Did make a couple small wagers here to have some fun with All-Star weekend to see how it's going to turn out. But the format, much different. We will go over that. Also, are you a big hockey fan? Team USA last night in an absolute rout over Finland. Woo! 6 goals. Way to do it. 6-1 there. Now the Team USA is the favorites to win that competition. But again, the big game tomorrow, Team USA, Team Canada in Canada for all that pride here. And you know that is going to be an explosion of fan bases meeting fan bases and a lot of fun to watch that one play out. Also, yesterday, good college basketball card swings through today. Not a huge college basketball card, but a couple ways that I do want to take a look at the handicap tonight, hopefully to win some money. The NBA last night, kind of crazy. Because if you were watching some of these spreads, the way they filtered through, and talking about mainly the Houston Rockets, who were opened as 1.5-point favorites yesterday against Golden State, in the morning were 6.5-point favorites against Golden State. The closing line, +1.5 for the Rockets against the Golden State Warriors yesterday. A lot of teams were resting, but the one thing that did make sense, if you were paying attention to in the NBA, was home teams, because it's one of those very rare instances. Everybody played the night before. So the teams that were going to be playing the following day, which were, let's just see, Rockets Warriors, Kings Pelicans, Heat Mavericks, Thunder T-Wolves, and the Clippers and the Jazz, you all had distinct advantages with some of these teams that were playing home the night before. The The one that didn't go the way I thought it would was the Warriors 105 victory to 98 over the Rockets. Everybody sat out for the Rockets. Nobody cared here. That was a win and a cover on the road for the Warriors when the Houston Rockets played the night before at home, played the next night at home, but obviously resting most of their players. The Pelicans at home, 140 to 133. Not only got the win, but also the cover in that game. The Mavericks going up against the Heat. They were at home, just about resting everybody in their lineup. Still were able to win, 118 to 113. Rest advantage at home equates. The Thunder and the Timberwolves. How about the Thunder? Winning by 15 points over maybe the best team in the NBA. The Thunder, because they had that rest advantage and a little bit of a quirkiness, as we like to say, heading into the All-Star break where these guys are just looking to get out of town. It's a back-to-back. You don't want to get injured. They hammered them. And then the Clippers, who did beat the Jazz on the road, but also got the cover against the Clippers at home, only losing by 4 points. That game closes close to a 10-point favorite for the Los Angeles Clippers. So if you're following along yesterday with some of the handicaps in the NBA, I'm not going to say it was paint by numbers, but it's a rare instance where some of these things you can figure they play out. Teams that are favored, maybe not paying attention all that much because they just wanted to get into the All-Star break. Some of the other teams were at home. Let's just get a victory before we get out of town. And it really played out that way. So if you were a home team hunting yesterday, at least on the spread, you did very well. Now, as we said, NBA All-Star game this weekend, NBA All-Star weekend, which means the three-point competition and the dunk competition. And by the way, you know where I go when I take a look at that Clippers-Jazz game last night, right? Who the night before said, man, my guy Norm Powell was holding back on us here. So they play again on a back-to-back in Utah in elevation. My guy Norm Powell, it's an overtime game, played 46 minutes. He shot 26 times from the field, making 13 field goals, which included 5 of 10, apologize, from three-point range. 41 points for Norm Powell yesterday. That's just the way he does it, people. Guy's an assassin from the three-point line, and he is going to be playing in the three-point competition this weekend at NBA All-Star Weekend. And as I said, we'll go over the rosters. We'll take a look at the dunk competition. We'll also take a look here at the three-point shot competition and some other things going around. And also, do you enjoy this format for the NBA All-Star break? It's something new, which sometimes it's what we like, but traditionally, we just want to see the East versus the West and have some of these guys absolutely just care a little bit more on defense as away you go. Watching the Philadelphia Eagles parade right now, Brandi Graham getting interviewed by Dave Spadaro, the Eagles insider. A lot of fire jackets out there at this point. And I see Kevin Walsh, who, you know, I don't know what he's doing today. Didn't show up for work on a Friday. So just your boy DRS. That's the way it always happens on a Friday right now. But you see the Love Hurts hoodies come out here. Kevin is appreciating that at this point right now. A lot of fan gear, a lot of chains like Lane Johnson is wearing with the Bud Light can on it. Well, that must be a fun day, though. Like when your whole season culminates, and yes, the Super Bowl is the main thing, but being on the buses for the parade route, right? Everybody smoking cigars, everybody out there absolutely relaxing, drinking as many adult beverages as they possibly can. But also, the tough part about the fans going to the parade, and if anybody's listening out there that's been to a championship parade, there's really nowhere to go to the bathroom. And it's not as if saying like, oh, well, you know, you can't. What do you mean hold it? Like you leave your house at 3:30 in the morning, you have to stand in the same spot. And also, this isn't Miami. This isn't like, hey, man, it's comfortable, 75 degrees in mid, let's just say, February. It's 30 degrees with 25-mile-an-hour winds, which means it's freezing cold down there. But you are huddled in with a ton of people, so it does sort of limit the damage of the wind, if you will. But at the same time, it's still cold. You can't go to the bathroom. Everybody's dancing and cheering. Players, like, getting ready to leave the facilities. But you are on the bus. You got the cold beers. You got the vodkas. You got the bourbons. You got the whiskeys. You got the cigars. And you got a couple bathrooms on board, which always makes it nice. Will be an epic day for Eagles fans to watch it. One last chance. Celebrate Super Bowl 59 with their fan base, which you know is me, and I'm enjoying watching every single bit of it. Let's have some fun today. It's Valentine's Day, and I got questions for the public out there, so make sure you stay tuned in. It's Moneyline right here on a Friday. It's your boy, Donnie Wrightside, on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
parade of champions, baby, the city of Philadelphia. Brotherly love, two-time Super Bowl champions, too, in the past 7 years. As I'm watching that live on my TV right now, I'm sure that coverage is going to be going all day long. But if you guys want to watch and you want to see your boy DRS live, there's only one way to do it. While I'm on the radio, Sports Grid On Demand on our YouTube channel. It's live. You can reach out because I got questions for the public right now. If you want to reach out to me on Twitter, of course, I'm always on there, at RightSideVP. But today, as I'm sitting back, February 14th, 2025, enjoying the Philadelphia Eagles parade, which I actually have on multiple TVs, which is kind of sweet right now. Like all the local affiliates are carrying it here in Philadelphia to get some good vantage points. You know, the Eagles look like they just left the facility, which is down in the stadium complex by Lincoln Financial Field, Citizens Bank Ballpark, as well as the Wells Fargo Arena. And they're headed down here, and it looks like they're right around 676, which is just outside the complex. The buses go extremely slow. Again, it's 3 hours. It's going to take them 3 hours to get to the end of the parade, and then they're going to have the players come out, owners come out, say a couple words to the people, and away you go. But it is people. It's Valentine's Day. Look, Jordan P's out there. My guy Eron's out there. Says he's late, but here. I got questions. Because it is Valentine's Day, right? And if you are in the city of brotherly love, like me, like I don't live in the city, but in the surrounding area, this is kind of interesting because these things don't come around often. And it's great that the Eagles are now winning Super Bowls. I tell my daughter all the time, it was never supposed to be like this. You were supposed to struggle as an Eagles fan and go like 30 years between absolutely making a deep playoff run, let alone even getting to a Super Bowl, winning one on top of it, right? But what do you do on this day? Because it is a day of celebration. And it's probably a day of drinking all day long. But don't you still have an obligation to your Valentine to still get out here in these streets and still be able to maybe function by taking your girlfriend, boyfriend, significant other out to dinner, a place to eat, getting them chocolates and a card? Or are you spending the day with them at a parade? That's the questions I have. Because I do think if you haven't been to an Eagles parade, which again, there was one in 2017, it is a big day, but the city of Philadelphia is interesting too because usually you see, right, guys? You win the Super Bowl or let's just say the World Series on a Sunday. That parade is usually no later than what, like Wednesday of the next week? It was interesting that they waited all the way to Friday, but it's always easier for a city to handle crowds and people calling out of work and, you know, kids not going to school on a Friday as opposed to middle of the week on a Wednesday. And also, if you figure it's a Friday, people off the weekend, they're going to get extra banged up at this parade, even though they would be getting banged up during the week, and then you try to go to work the next day. So it makes sense from a psychological standpoint for the fans to have it on a Friday, but it's interesting that it is on a holiday, which is Valentine's Day. And also, people, what are you guys out here doing? Like, what are you guys doing tonight for Valentine's Day? Forget about the Eagles fandom and me and living in the Delaware Valley here. What are you guys doing? Are we still going out to eat? Have things changed so much? Is your heart broken because, you know, you a recent divorce or you broke up with your girlfriend or boyfriend at this point? Like, what are you doing tonight? What's the average? Are we different now where, you know, the Gen Zs and the millennials, we don't like Valentine's Day anymore? The boomers are the only ones that like Valentine's Day? For me, I'm taking my two sweethearts out tonight, my wife and my daughter, to a nice dinner at 6:45. And you might be saying to yourself right now, what do you mean you're going out to eat dinner tonight, Donna? You don't eat dinner. You're right. You're absolutely right. It's a tough day for me. Yesterday, we had a filming, which is why we weren't on the air for Moneyline yesterday. Drove up to the studio, had to eat a chicken cutlet sandwich in the car with fries, which is not easy to do. So I wasn't able to, let's just say, enjoy my meal yesterday. Still had my Mr. Goodbar all the way up, no doubt about it. Finished off that meal quite nicely. But then that time is around, let's just say I'm done eating at noon, because I had to rush it a little bit to get up to the studio, which means today we're at 11:18, haven't had any calories in my body since about noon yesterday, because I do fast, I only eat one time a day. So typically, I have like a snack before we get on the air for Moneyline, make it through Moneyline, then I go out to eat. Whatever fast food place I want, whatever restaurant I want, whatever pizza shop I want, cheesesteaks, you get the point, I get to eat it there. So usually, I'm doing this show like, man, I can't wait. In 45 minutes or so, I'm going to be able to go out there, sit back, relax, and eat whatever I want. I can't do that today. And it's a very rare instance. Like, I think I've maybe eaten dinner over the past 18 months, maybe twice. And typically, it's on Valentine's Day that I do that. So today, if you can see me online as you, watch live, there's the pineapple juice, which is my secret trick, where I do sip on it just so I can get some electrolytes and some calories technically in my body to wait it out. It's one of my tricks that I use when we do Pro Football Today on the weekend, because I am on a show from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., which will be past my window, which I usually take sips of pineapple juice in between commercial breaks just to keep the good vibes going, keep the sugars high, and all that stuff. You get it. Then when I go home, I eat like three bagels in the car, and then we go home and feast, and we watch football all day, and you get the point. But today, this is a struggle for your boy DRS, because I'm usually, like, at least I had snack time already. Like, I don't know if there was pretzels upstairs or potato chips or beef jerky or whatever I want to eat at that point. A Pop-Tart, who cares? Just to open up that eating window. So today, I am running on, boy, am I going to be starving tonight. But also, let's throw my body out of whack. Because when you're used to fasting like me, and specifically on Valentine's Day, like going to have a nice steak dinner, probably going to have a nice wedge salad, you know, maybe some lobster mac and cheese. By the way, asparagus, when you get a steak, absolutely. A solid asparagus at a good steakhouse can't be beat. Maybe a little hollandaise sauce to dip it in. Yeah, you get the picture. But that's what I'm doing tonight. Taking the sweethearts out for a nice dinner tonight. But what are you guys doing? Like, you want to pop off in the chat box and let me know? You want to hit me up on Right Side VP? Is it a big date night? Is it like, ah? Like, for me, I've been married for 15 years now. So it's not about, like, gift giving and, you know, big expensive gifts at this point. Just spending quality time together with a nice meal. Now, this weekend, going to be headed down to Atlantic City, standing at the Borgata this weekend on Saturday, meeting Joe, the one and only Joe Lisi, this weekend in Atlantic City. Have some fun, meet up for drinks, but actually I don't drink. I partake in some other things, but I'm not going to be drinking this weekend. The wife probably have some, you know, glasses of wine at that point. I'm sure Joe Lisi is going to be 6-7 meatballs deep at that time by the time I meet him in Atlantic City. But that's what I'm doing. Like, I like Valentine's Day when you have a significant other that you really care about. Anybody ever been through Valentine's Days out there, people, where you're like, oh no, I'm alone. I wonder what my girlfriend, ex-girlfriend's doing or ex-boyfriend's doing at this point. Yeah, we all been there before. So hopefully everybody having a wonderful Valentine's Day, which again, in the city of brotherly love, it is a glorious day. The world champions are riding down Broad Street. Got a lot more topics to hit right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A day of passion, a day of heartbreak, a day of celebration. All can be said in Philadelphia today with the Super Bowl parade as the Lombardi Trophy heads down Broad Street. Your boy Donnie Wright's out on a solo mission today on Moneyline. Having some fun before this big weekend, which does include the NBA All-Star Game. An interesting change, an interesting concept that we have. We are going to get to that. But I want to spend a little bit of time on college basketball. And we'll start with today's action. And then maybe by the end of the show, we'll start to take a look at some of those big games on Saturday, which I didn't handicap. But today, it is a short card, but there is a couple games out there that I think are valid. And one game actually on the move right now on the line. This morning, I was handicapping Nevada versus San Jose State. Out of the West Coast tonight, that's a 10 p.m. tip time. 891, 892 on the rotation. The line opened up as a side for Nevada on the road as a 5.5-point favorite. FanDuel in New Jersey still showing 5.5, but most outlets have moved to sixes. And as I said that, FanDuel just blinked over to a 6.5. So let's call it 6.5. That line is going up. Same thing with the total, which opened up at 135.5, which is where it was this morning when I was handicapping it. It's now 136.5 and 137s. Across the board. Let's go over this game of why I think a certain play makes some sense. If we take a look at some of the statistics that I do like, you look at both of these teams, Nevada and San Jose State. If we look at both of them and say, all right, what's their tempo? They're not very fast teams, which means they don't get out and push every chance they get. But that doesn't mean we can't score points tonight. Nevada's offense, efficiency-wise, in conference play out of 11 teams is fifth out of 11, so slightly above average. One of the things that they like to do is, you know what, average at best per se from the three-point line, but very good inside the arc. If we look at the point differentials and the distribution for San Jose State's defense, San Jose State is number one in the conference at defending the three-point line, which means point distribution style, right? 11th in conference play at only 26% for San Jose, which is great. They don't give a lot of points up from the three-point line. So you look at the point distribution for Nevada, from the three-point line. They're ninth in conference play, which means they don't rely on getting points from the three-point range. So say, okay, wait. San Jose State's going to sink their teeth into the three-point line. Nevada's going to say, that's not really that big of a deal. Now, two-point distribution in conference play. Nevada is third out of 11 at 51.2% of their points coming from inside the arc, not the three-point line. How about San Jose's defense, guys? Number one in conference play at close to 58% of their point distribution comes from inside the arc. So Nevada's offense doesn't really want to rely on the three-point shot. San Jose's defense defends the three-point shot. So then we flip it around and say, okay, how about inside the arc? Major advantage for Nevada. San Jose State will give up points inside the arc, and Nevada's happy to take those points inside the arc. So let's flip it over to San Jose State's offense. Not a great offense efficiency-wise. Seventh out of 11 teams in conference play. They don't really get to the free throw line, but they don't turn the basketball over all that much. However, they do shoot the three-point shot pretty well. 42% of their total shot attempts come from three-point line. And they're second in conference play as a team at around 37% from three-point range. Now, if we look at the point distribution from behind the arc there, say, okay, number three in conference play for San Jose State on offense. So they like to make three-point shots. They rely on the three-point shot. How about Nevada's defense? Worst in conference play at distribution. They're number one at giving up points from the three-point line. Close to 40% of the points that are scored against Nevada come from the three-point line. And if you're looking from the two-point range, San Jose State doesn't rely on that. They're 10th in conference play at point distribution inside the arc. And then you see how good Nevada is inside the arc at 10th in point distribution. So there you go. We have one of those games where we don't have a lot of tempo, but as we always like to say, guys, styles absolutely make fights here. So one team wants to score from the three-point line, one team will let them. One team wants to score inside the arc, one team will let them here. Now, granted, it doesn't always work in your favor. Nevada's a much better basketball team than San Jose. But also, I agree with this line movement, which went from 135.5 to 136.5 to 137s at some outlets here. I was able to grab a small piece at 135.5 this morning. So 10 o'clock tonight on Valentine's Day, if you're not out with your wife, if you're a significant other, you're just looking for some action to bet, as we now just saw DraftKings move to 137.5 as I'm talking. Got the 135 a little bit earlier. Make sure you're shopping around. Try to get one of those 136.5s. If you can't, look, I'm not going to bicker and say, well, I never would take it at 138. But I got 135.5 this morning. I think Nevada and San Jose State to the over makes a lot of sense tonight on Valentine's Day. We're going to continue to talk Valentine's Day, college basketball, the Philadelphia Eagles celebration parade down Broad Street, and also take a look at NBA All-Star Weekend with some of the lineups, maybe some ways to bet, changes possibly on the way. It's your boy Donnie Wright's out on a Friday right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Guys, you can call it a Football Friday here on the Sports Grid Network. Why? Because I'm loving football today, watching the Parade of Champions. Live from Philadelphia right now, it is a Valentine's Day. Maybe my biggest Valentine here at the Sports Grid Network, Dave Sharapan. How about that? How about Sharapan joining us today? Yo-ho!
What's up, Donnie?
Yeah.
Everybody loves a parade.
USA. Yep, we do.
Everybody loves a parade. And I said, Donnie's left without, you know, a Valentine on Valentine's Day this morning. I get a text, you know, these esteemed producers are doing work behind the scenes.
Yep.
So what are you doing? Come on, talk to Donnie for a little bit, get him home, you know, for the back end of the show here. I said, absolutely. Kids dropped off at school.
Yep.
I got, waiting to see this parade. This is, you know, we've been up early watching softball, recapping the Four Nations and what's happening. Getting ready for the weekend, and it's that day, right? I mean, you get to celebrate. Donnie, it's pretty cool, right? I mean, like, this has been a pretty good year for you, Eagles fans everywhere. It's a big day.
Yeah, it works out well, too, especially being in New Orleans, you know, the anticipation of the Super Bowl coming up. At least you got to enjoy that, right? It wasn't like Washington was there, which would have been a terrible week, and see how it played out. So I'm like sitting back, reliving, because I was there in 2017 for the parade, and it was nuts. It was crazy. It was freezing cold, and it was a long day. Much more comfortable here, sitting on the air talking to you and watching it on TV where it is freezing cold. But, Dave, I mean, it's been like 50 years since Pittsburgh had this parade for the football team. Doesn't it feel like that? What's going on over there? Come on now.
Man, I mean, I didn't know we were going to go there right off the bat.
Right off the bat.
It's been a little while. I mean, you know, but we've done it multiple times.
Where do they go, Dave, in Pittsburgh? Like, what's the route? Like, is there a route that everybody knows that this is where we take it?
Well, it's been so long now, the route might be changed. A little bit of construction has changed things. But, yeah, it's right down to the point. You know, that's where the center of everything is, you know, across the river from the stadium. It usually ends up. It's going to be a while. I don't know what's going on in Pittsburgh now that you brought it up. Quarterback questions. I have no idea what they're doing for the draft. Are you excited for the NFL draft? Like in all the talk that comes with it. It's the bane of my existence. It was the bane of my existence when we had to book it. I don't like it. I enjoy the talk of it and seeing kids realize their dream and teams make decisions, and nobody's drafted better than the Eagles in the last few years. I mean, they've done an unbelievable job, but I don't like the draft stuff. Do you?
That's why we're the old guard here. It feels like at the network, the young kids love it. They analyze. They have 50 bets in. Like, I'm on the Pro Football Today show, Dave. I could give a damn outside of the first 5 picks in the draft. I don't bet it. I haven't bet it in years. I don't care about it. It's a good night of sleep for me. I'll wake up this day. Again, look, if Pittsburgh had the number one pick, number two pick, a little bit more, you know, because as your fandom kicks in. But when your team's drafting 15, 16, 17, might come up with a corner, might come up with a lineman here, it's not that big of a deal. Like, I know people are so passionate about the combine in the draft. Dave, put me to sleep. Give me the Novocaine that night. I could care less.
While all of that is going on, there's a really good college basketball season going on. The NBA, it ebbs and flows, and it exists, and we have to talk about it, right? It really does start to pick up. I mean, the bad teams are really bad, and it gets into the tanking season and the different things like that. But, I mean, there are engaging stories. The hockey I can do every day, but, you know, the elephant in the room is that while all these people are talking about the draft and this tackle going here and this safety going here, there's baseball, Donnie. You're a baseball guy. I mean, they're reporting the spring training pitchers and catchers this week. And, oh, by the way, that team in Philadelphia is pretty good. And I would rather talk about baseball than the draft every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Like, is there anything better, Dave? Like, because you're right about, like, football season ends, and it's like a moratorium. Like, oh, no, what are we going to do? Regardless if your best team won, lost, had a heartbreaking season. Like, it's a shame because even being in the content business, you know as well as I do, you don't need any background. Hey, we need you in 1 minute to go live and talk NFL. Sign me up. Comb my hair. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, live. You let it rip for 3 hours. It's so easy to do. Outside of that, it's like, okay, now the transition starts where everybody talks college basketball, which is sensational, starting from right about now all the way through to March Madness. But, Dave, that first week of April, like when baseball is ripping with like 10-day games, like over the first 3 to 4 days of the season, just to get you back in it. And it seems like you live on every pitch with your favorite baseball team because everybody feels like it could be our year. Like the Pirates open up 3-1. You know, break it down. We got to get down to the ballpark. This might be our season. And then you see, you know, May, June, and July start to calm down. But the first week of April where baseball just gets shot out of a cannon, it is a wonderful time. It is.
Oh, the buildup is tremendous. I mean, spring training is fun. I'm actually headed down to Florida myself, and I'll be down there. I'm going to try to get by and see the Phillies and see the Buccos and be in that part of Florida. Been in Arizona many times for spring training. It gets you ready for the season and trying to figure out who's going to beat the Dodgers. Because the Dodgers, I mean, you look at the odds for the Dodgers, and I don't remember ever seeing such a prohibitive overwhelming favorite across the books everywhere. No one thinks that, I mean, their season win total is 104.5. So I think there are so many compelling stories. I mean, the NL East alone, Donnie, between the Phillies, the Braves, and oh, by the way, the Mets made the biggest signing, right? Like, you know, sorry, Nats and Marlins fans, like you're going to have a long season. Not maybe as long as the Colorado Rockies. They're going to be absolutely terrible. Their season win number is really, really low. But Donnie, in all the time and all the baseball and all the things, like you can even find something to talk about with the Chicago White Sox and how bad they are. That's why I love baseball. There's always something.
Day-to-day basis, man. Nothing better than that. By the way, like I haven't got a chance to talk to you about the Dodgers in the offseason that they've had. Because to me, there's two ways to look at it. And most, if you're a Dodger fan, you love it. It's fantastic. My team's paying more than anybody else. Let's get another parade. And I understand that. But for me, I don't like the balance of it. It's coming from a Philadelphia Phillies fan, which we're in the top five payroll. Should love it. But I do think, like, I was actually cheering Dave on the Dodgers in the offseason. I said, well, what does that mean? Like, you want that? Yes, because I think that's going to drive a wedge between the players' union and the owners, where they say, now we're looking at bad for baseball. It's nothing the Dodgers are doing wrong. They're playing within the rules. They're deferring salaries. Anybody can sign anybody they want. But there comes a point that in most of our leagues, Dave, like even in hockey, like the smaller teams can compete, but there's nothing set up that says, because otherwise you'd say like the Phoenix Coyotes, who are no longer a franchise, they probably would have been one of the more profitable franchises if there was true revenue sharing like baseball has. Big hockey teams like New York and Philadelphia and Chicago, or whoever, pay the freight for the big ones. They go, okay, well, we're in the luxury tax, so Phoenix, you get $30 million. They go, perfect. We won't sign anybody. We'll be so profitable, and it would be fantastic. It doesn't work like that in other leagues, but baseball, like Pittsburgh, the perfect scenario, subsidized by the public, don't spend any money, but boy, oh boy, we are one of the most profitable teams out here, and we don't try. It's not supposed to be like that, Dave. So for me, from a Dodgers perspective, I like it because I think we're closer to getting some sort of, hey, guys, you have to spend a minimum amount across baseball. We're not going to subsidize your team because you don't want to spend money.
I think it's getting closer and closer to something being done. And I think you're right about bringing the bottom up to a minimum rather than setting a cap at the top.
Correct.
Because they're just going to pay over the luxury tax in situations like that. They're just franchises with bigger deals. There's a lot of questions about the media contracts with baseball that I think are going to also come to a head. So I'm all for it if it makes the games better. Let's just get the best players and make the games better and feel like you got a shot rather than in Pittsburgh 20 years between seasons over 500.
In the chat box, I had a check mark here for the Sportsbook Consig from Aaron Schoen. So the people out there appreciating Sharpen on a Friday. We got a lot more topics too. Why not? Let's have some fun hanging out on a Friday, a Valentine's Day edition, right here on Moneyline. It's Dave and Donnie. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So we got a hockey guy with us on a Friday. It's Dave Sharapan, Sportsbook Consigliere. I got to ask him because I like where this is going in the NHL right now. Now, Dave knows me as a Flyers fan. We don't have anything to cheer about. We never have anything to cheer about, it feels like. Maybe in a couple years we will. But all-star games for me are at such a low. Baseball I actually somewhat enjoy because it's the closest that we get to a regular game where players are actually playing to compete. We're not playing softball out there per se. Football that did away with the game completely. The NHL was abysmal. But if you're telling me this, and they're not going to do it every year, you say, we're just going to get together like a nation's tournament instead of the All-Star break. Dave, these players at the All-Star game hang out, drink beers, pass the puck, nobody checks, 7-6 final, 15-14 final. Yeah. These guys are putting it all on the line with a crowd that wants blood in Canada right now. It's awesome. It's awesome.
I can't get enough of it. This is turned into a good idea, into a great idea.
Yes.
And at one point last night, you know, my Valentine, my wife, Mrs. Kinsig, Jessica's watching the game with me and going, are they going to do this all the time, like every year? And I said, they should. And they're doing this instead of the All-Star game? And she said, and I said, yes. And she goes, well, do you want to ever see an All-Star game again? I said, no, I really don't. Like, this is one of those ones where now it takes the players to buy in. And nobody buys in more than hockey players. You tell them they're going to play hockey in a competitive environment. They're physical. They're playing to win every shift. There's washes. There's body checks. There's talking in between benches. NHL rivalries are still existing, but they're wearing their country's jerseys. It's great. And listen, I don't know what you got to do tonight to get the plans taken care of for Valentine's Day. Yeah. But at 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern tomorrow, you got Canada and U.S. playing in Montreal will be electric. Finland and Sweden, the precursor to that, will be an excellent hockey game, probably an under if you're looking to play it. I'm with you. All-star games. Baseball's great because it is the closest to a game.
Yeah.
Sign me up for more of that. I want all of that.
Because, like, understanding, like, America and Canada built a little bit different. Like, their dream growing up was to obviously win the Stanley Cup. Any Canadian kid, like, you didn't dream of holding the Lombardi or winning a CFL championship. That means a lot. Same thing in the U.S. when it's like, hey, I'm going to hold up that Larry O'Brien trophy or the Lombardi. It means something. But around the world, Dave, like, yes, they want to win the Stanley Cup. They're like mercenaries. They play for a team, and there's a lot of pride in doing that. But you ask any of the foreign-born players, like Sweden and Finland, what would mean more to you, lifting the Stanley Cup or winning this four nations tournament, just four teams here, where you knock off your rival and then maybe Canada or the United States? I remember days back, way back, like Peter Forsberg would say, hey, I'm going to play for Sweden. When we win, I need like 3 or 4 days off before I return back to the NHL for the World Cup because I need to go back to my home country and I need to be on the streets for 4 or 5 days and really let loose. Like, foreign-born players absolutely buy in, which then you don't need Team USA and Team Canada to buy in when they play each other.
No, you don't. And I don't know if that's a hockey culture more than anything. Yep. There are guys in countries that maybe aren't represented in this. This is the first time, you know, for doing it. So everybody relax on this. I know I love sports, as do you. I want to see it played at an elite level, the best guys playing at the most intense that they can. Now, it's hard to get this up and going for a, you know, midweek game with Ottawa and, I don't know, Carolina, right, on a Tuesday. Okay, maybe you can't match that intensity every shift, but, man, I'm on the edge of my seat. And it was competitive last night until the beginning of the third period when 3 goals in 3 minutes, the Tkachuk brothers took over hockey last night.
It was great
to see, right? I mean, it's fun to see when they get, you know, the coach says, I'm putting you together. Figure it out. Puts Eichel with them. It was great. It was great. I can't wait. I cannot wait. Saturday, tomorrow. There's a great slate of college basketball. The SEC had a little bit of a rough season in college football. They didn't really go one team to the playoff. Mm-hmm. They have the best basketball conference, and they have the 1-2 matchup tomorrow, Donnie. It's Alabama-Auburn. Must-watch television, college hoops, and Four Nations hockey tomorrow. Sounds like a great day.
It does. And it's crazy to think, like, the Iron Bowl. Like, did they, 15 years ago, Auburn and Alabama playing basketball, did they even get 3,000 people in their arena? Like, nobody could care. Football. Now it's almost a complete role reversal. Like, it is the SEC turned into the ACC from 15 years ago. And it's amazing to watch it because every single time you turn around, it's like, well, this SEC team has 6 losses. They're still in the top 10. Why? Because they're playing a top 10 team every single night. Now, let me ask you this question, too, because we are talking about all-star games. The NBA does need a format change, but I don't know if it's this one. But could we do something like hockey? Like, you take, what is it, you know, Team Slovenia. Like, those guys would be so ramped up to go against the best the U.S. has or the best the world has. I think there's a market, Dave, where you can do this in the NBA, and we and the players would really buy in.
I think you're right. I mean, we saw it with the Olympics, right? The Olympics had some real buzz when they were playing international, and we saw Serbia, right? France would be interesting, you know, now that they got Wemby representing and put together French. I think you could do it. You just have to get the buy-in from the players. It's very, very important that players have to, one, sign off on it, and two, treat it as such. Because if they do, fans are treated to a wonderful couple days of games. There can't be any load management if you're going to do a thing for the NBA All-Stars like they're doing for the NHL. You're 2 days of practice. The whole league takes at least a week off. Everybody focus on this alone. I forgot that the NBA All-Star weekend was this weekend until you just brought it up. It used to be must-watch.
Used to be. I'm telling you, kids don't understand. 80s and 90s were huddled around a television going like, oh my goodness, all the superstars in one building, a dunk competition with Dominique Wilkins and Michael Jordan. It doesn't get any better. And then we get, which I love Mac McClung, but come on now. We can't be headlining stuff with Mac McClung out here for the dunk competitions. But we will root, we will cheer, and we'll be right back to close this down on a Valentine's Day edition of Moneyline. Look it up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Dave Sharp and Donnie Right Side Radio on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Living life on a Friday here. One final segment before we get out of here for the weekend. Hope it's good for everybody. But Dave, any thoughts on the NBA? Like, do you have a dunk champion? Do you like the setup here? Is it Team Chuck? Is it Team Shaq? Is it Team Kenny? What do you think about this weekend?
I'll take a quick look today after I get through doing
how the boys
all the
booking
stuff
it?
I'm doing.
How the boys booking it downtown, Dave?
I don't know how deep they're going to go with it because by the last one I did, we stopped doing the dunk contest because of the scoring. Like we didn't know it was like they just throw up a 10 and then somebody rigs it and throws a 9 and all this other stuff. And I hate to use that word and sports because there's so many people out in the space that, you know, want to say that sports are rigged or not, but you know, 3-point shootout. You used to just give people the odds on everybody else other than Steph for a long time. I haven't even looked at it, Tony. I really haven't looked at it. I will keep an eye on it because it is an event, but it's not. It does not have the cachet that it used to have. It just doesn't. So, like I said, I'll be watching all the college baskets. I'll be watching the hockey for sure. We'll dominate the day. And I don't know, you're talking about baseball. College softball is full on underway. And
what's Oklahoma doing, Dave? What are they doing this year?
Everybody again. What are they going to do? They're the third ranked team.
Wow.
In the SEC. That? Yeah. Sheesh. So the SEC's changed a lot.
Who's
of things.
Who's top dog like down there? About, who's it, Florida? Who is it? Who's the top dog down
yeah.
there?
Yeah. Yeah. Florida and Texas are ahead of Oklahoma in the rankings. So I'm watching them play right now. Auburn's on against Florida. It's good. So we got a lot of things to catch up on. We got a lot of things to relax and you know, kind of be thankful for because football season was awesome. And it was was it good for you personally? Because books are reporting that, you know, it was some of the biggest handle days, most successful days. I mean, the people in New York. Did you see what they did? They lost.
Yeah, come on. You know what's funny about that, too? Because K-Dub's from New York. I said, what kind of bloodlines you guys got up there? Like, now, the funny part is Pennsylvania won money against the books because people were hammering the Eagles? But
yes.
What was New York's just supposed to be handicappers. That's where, like, you know, the wise guys on the streets in Brooklyn and, you know, across, like, what was going on there? Couldn't get it together.
Yeah. Not so much. The books, you know, we'll be talking about today on BVB and stuff. Pennsylvania lost because the hometown team won.
Exactly.
And I think, Donnie, I mean, all bias removed aside, the Eagles were the better team in so many different ways.
Yeah.
It was a great season for them. And if I don't know what you were watching to not think that the Eagles were going to win that game. So hindsight's always 20/20.
It is.
But, man, that was fun. That was fun. Glad to see you guys got have a good week down there. And I mean, the Sunday show was great. There was all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah.
The Saquon prop, I can tell you this. If he would have gone over and or scored, there would have been some different reports about those things. I mean, you want to talk about one guy that dominated the discussion and the betting. It was him. So, yeah, the books got the last laugh with that one, Donnie.
They did on that. Because can you imagine that, too? Because you're looking at, you know, over two touchdown passes from Mahomes, check. Hurts, check, which is a big number, like plus 180. Over the yardage props, check. Rushing yards for, you know, Jalen Hurts, check. If you would have had 125 yards rushing from Saquon and a touchdown, like, everything would have ping-ponged. Because I know, like, if you were teasing, most people were teasing the Eagles, like, not going through zero and just taking them, like, 7.5. And you know how people right. always hammer the over. That comes in late in the game. It looks like that might have been a struggle. So you're right. Like, it's funny. Again, you look at New York, like New York books celebrating popping champagne bottles. Like, man, what would these people bet? Just every Mahomes prop in the book, MVP Mahomes, all that stuff at this point too. Especially, I guess, Saquon not winning the MVP either sort of held it down. But as I always say this, Dave, the books are the smartest people in the room. You don't see every Super Bowl like, hey, man, public won 48 out of 49 states or 50 states at that point. Like, that's not the case. So it is funny when PA pulls that off and Nevada's like, yeah, same old. We win just about every damn Super Bowl and every day of the year, man. Listen to the books, Dave. They'll point you in the right direction.
It's one of those ones. Yeah. I mean, you have such a big head start with the futures and, you know, New York, maybe they'll get it back with the Knicks. maybe the Rangers.
All Yankees money, Dave. All that Mets
Yankees,
money.
Here it comes. Come on.
The Islanders rolling all the way through. It's been a fun Friday edition on Valentine's Day. I want to thank the Sportsbook Consigliere for joining me on a Friday on Moneyline. As you know, Chris behind the wheels of steel, always making us sound good. Valentine's weekend. Enjoy. Make some money. Eat some food. Relax. We'll see you back on Monday right here on the Sportsbook Network.